Let's pray. Let's open right now with a word of prayer and close her time with a word of prayer. So, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We thank you for this testimony because you say, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the blood of the Lamb is what you have done in this holy week that we celebrate, that we walk with you to the cross, and we remember what you have done for us. And we enter into that time. Lord, may we never forget. And it's by testimony and remembering that the story continues. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live that this week fully. And I pray that every time Grace tells this story, that it will inspire hearts. And if she threw a rock in the dark and it hit us in an orphan spirit, Lord, I ask that you would show us where we feel abandoned and orphaned, because only you can fill that space that we all long for, yes, which is to know you as our Father, mm-hmm, and to be embraced as you, as parent, mm-hmm, as our wholeness, yes, as our Creator, as our protector, yes, as the one who longs to make us whole and one with you. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, I ask now that you would come and teach this lesson. I thank you that when we preach truthfully the word of God, we just can't mess it up because you come and you teach. And so we give you complete permission to speak truth into our lives, to open our minds, our hearts, the dry places. Thank you for this word today, that you take us into the desert to show us your love. Mm-hmm. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I could just do that all day, but let's do this. Some people have just asked, just so I don't forget, because I'm going to get on a roll and I'm going to forget. Some people had asked about books to read over the summer. Anything by Father Jacques Philippe. I just want to recommend. In the School of the Holy Spirit, these little books, they are like dynamite.
Yeah, just read that.
You're just going to love anything by Father Jacques Philippe. This book in particular, you're looking for a really good prayer book. Hearts on Fire.
Looks like your
Jesuits.
Address.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, this one you just can't beat. This is just one of the...
Get your own copy.
Get your own copy. This is called Hearts on Fire.
With the rubber band.
Yeah, Praying with the Jesuits. You're going to like this one.
Looks a lot like
my Bible.
And I have said this, if you like this series, you'll love this book, Walking with God, by Tim Gray and Jeff Cavins. You'll love this book. It's walking through the Bible. Jeff Cavins wrote Bible Timeline. He basically breaks down the entire Bible in what you need to know and what sort of extra information. And if you can read the what you need to know, the whole thing comes together. And he basically does that in this book in a very easy to read way. And it just makes the Bible come alive.
What's the name of the author?
Tim Gray, Dr. Tim Gray, and Jeff Cavins. Dr. Tim Gray is my professor at Augustine Institute. He's awesome.
And I'm sorry, what's the first one again?
The first one?
It's called In the School of the Holy Spirit by Father Jacques Philippe.
In
the School of the Holy Spirit. Jacques Philippe. But anything by him you will love. The other one is Interior Freedom is my other favorite book by him. Okay, good? All right, so today we have come through This is, we're now in chapter 12 the Bible study that we're going to be doing. So the next series of 12, we will have more of the miracles and teachings of Christ, and then the last six lessons of the next series will be the Passion Week and the glorious resurrection, and then what happens. But today we get a little bit of a, you know, throughout the entire Bible, you need to ask yourself the question is, where is Jesus showing me the cross? Where is Jesus showing you the cross? Because in every snippet of his life, he is in some way giving you a glimpse of the event of all history. And that is sort of what everything else on earth revolves around. So just look and see, all right? So the study here, I want to take, so much of what I'm taking is from Henry Nouwen's Life of the Beloved. If you have not read, oh, that's another great book. If you have not read Henry Nouwen's Life of the Beloved, that should be at the top of your list. And I'm going to read some from that today, some quotes that I love. All right, so today we are going to take our lesson from Mark. And you remember that Mark, little young hipster Mark, he is all about the immediate. He does not give you a lot of detail. He just kind of goes for it, and he shows that Christ is who he is by what he does. And so we see today his action-packed gospel story, a feeding of the 5,000. So this word lambano, which is what we're going to see, is about taking, and it's from the root of lab, meaning actively laying hold of, to take or receive, properly to lay a hold of, aggressively, I love that, accepting what is available or offered, all right? So he's accepting what is available or offered. It's not taken by force, it's actively taking what is offered, accepting with initiative, I love that, accepting with initiative. It emphasizes the assertiveness of the receiver, all right? If you give something to the Lord, it's because he has inspired it in you to give to him, and he is accepting it with great fervor. He's looking forward to receiving it, and that's what we see here, all right? So it's not that he like looks at it and sniffs at it and goes, not sure if I can work with this. Got anything better? It's that he receives it with great fervor, all right? And then this eulogia, which is the blessing, is to consecrate a thing with a solemn prayer. So we will see that Jesus takes it, he blesses it. The katakleo, which is he breaks it into smaller pieces. He breaks it into smaller pieces. And the didomia is he offers it. Now this is an interesting form of this particular verb because it's a continual offering. It means he kept on giving. He kept on offering, all right? So the history, the feeding of the 5,000, is one of the most memorable things that Christ has ever done. It's actually the only miracle recorded as it happened in all four Gospels, except for the resurrection, the only miracle recorded. When that happens, and it's in all four Gospels, we better perk up our ears, right? We need to pay attention. Just about every line we're about to read in some way echoes back to something in the Old Testament, all right? So this gives us clues about what Jesus is doing in this, what he's performing here. So here's the situation. The disciples have just returned from being sent out by Christ, and because he had sent them out, and they're anxious to report back what they've done and what had happened. At the same time, we see this amazing thing is happening, and then this horrifying thing is happening. John the Baptist has been imprisoned and beheaded, all right? And Herod's, and we got to actually drive right past where that happened in Jordan, in one of Herod's palaces. So, as you recall, John the Baptist is Jesus' first cousin. And I think that this is showing Jesus, you know what? This is real. Your walk is real. And it's going to cost. So while the disciples are all excited about what they've seen, they're also suddenly, there's kind of this, you know, reality check that this is going to cost. And so they circle around Jesus, and Jesus says, hey guys, let's get away. Let's go to a deserted place. Let's just get away for us, for a little R&R. Well, when the crowds see that they've gotten in a boat, now let me just tell you, the lake, the Sea of Galilee is also called the Sea of Tiberias. It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret. It's also called something else. And it, the reason why they call it that Gennesaret means a heart shape. And it's really not very big. So everything we're going to talk about all happens within about a 2-mile radius on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. So where he last week, where we talked about the Beatitudes, basically where he taught was kind of overlooking where all of this is happening. You can easily walk down where he taught that, and you can walk and you can go to where this took place, to Capernaum, to the next little town. So they're all just all right there together. So, he takes them. So they see that he's about to go from this little place to this little place, you know, and it's quicker to go by boat. But they run ahead and they head him off at the pass. And so where he thinks he's going to go get a little R&R, he lands on shore, and guess what? There they all are. Surprise! And so this is where we think this took place. And Nancy was sweet enough to bring this. So you can kind of see this is Tabgha. Now, this word Tabgha is also known as Heptageon, and it's just 2 miles west of Capernaum, which is where Peter lived and where Christ lived with him. And they think that Peter moved in with his mother-in-law after he got married. And so this town is called Tabgha, and it means seven springs. So there were seven warm springs that popped up into the Sea of Galilee. And so that made very good reason for people to fish there, because algae would grow and all the fish would come, and especially in the winter, they like to hang out up there. So there was even a 4th century pilgrim who said this. So 4th century, so he says, in the same place, not far from Capernaum, facing the Sea of Galilee, is a well-watered land, thank you, in which lush grasses grow, with numerous trees and palms nearby are 7 springs which provide abundant water. In this fruitful garden, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So here at this town is where Peter called James and John, and Peter and Andrew. So it was a beautiful little place, and you could see why the people would run ahead. But Jesus wanted to get away. So we think he was going to go up the hillside there. But when he stops and he looks, instead of going, I can't take it anymore, I am mourning. I have just lost my cousin. And I'm sick and tired of you people. I haven't even been able to eat. It says they were so busy they weren't even able to eat. And you're going to see that's exactly the reaction that the disciples have. They're like, we're done. Send them away. Dismiss them. Go feed yourself. But what does Jesus say? He looks at them and he has compassion and he has pity. And he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And so it says he taught them many things. So even in his time of despair, he's giving. So let's read. So the return of the 12, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity to even eat. I have to admit, I can really relate to that in this past couple weeks. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. Now, perk up your ears. We have seen God do great things in the desert. Think about all the great things God did in the desert, all right? People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot. All the towns arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. All right, so how do you respond when your R&R time is interrupted? By hungry sheep, all right? By now, it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already really late. Dismiss them so that they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Yep, that's exactly what I would have done too. I would have said, "Go away, feed yourselves. I haven't even eaten myself, much less I don't have any business feeding you." So, but we see the true compassion of Christ. And so what does he do? Let's see what he says. The disciples are about to show that they have no idea who Jesus is, or really what his business is, or even what he's capable of doing. And they actually think that these people can go away and get something from somewhere else that they can't get from Jesus. How many times do we do that in our own lives? We think we can go somewhere else and get something that we need apart from Jesus. All right, but he's about to point out to the disciples their utter lack of faith and their utter lack of capability. All right, so he said to them in reply, "You give them something to feed yourselves." But they said to him, "Are we to buy 200? Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give it to them to eat?" Jesus does this to point out their inability to fix the problem without him. They do not have the resources to handle this great crisis. But God does. But God does. Where else do the people roam in a deserted place hungry? Children of Israel, right? What does God do for them? He supplies all they need in superabundance. In Exodus 16, he gives them bread from heaven, the manna. He asks them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." God asks for their active participation to fix the problem. He asks for their active participation, all the while knowing they can't do it without him, but he involves them in the work of building his kingdom and feeding his sheep. They can't do it without him, but he asks for their active participation in it. He starts with what they bring him. He doesn't just turn stones into bread. He starts with what they bring him. And when they have found out, they said, "Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he gave the orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. Now that is not just a little detail. Where else? Now we've heard the word sheep without a shepherd. They're by some water. They're sitting near green grass. Thank you. Bing, 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 bing. Psalm 23. All right. We brought it right back to Psalm 23 here. All right. "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall lack. In green pastures, he makes me lie down." He's making them lie down because that's how they ate. "To still waters, he leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me along right paths for the sake of his name." For the sake of his name. So the people took their places in rows of hundreds and fifties. Now this is interesting. In times of when they were grouped in thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, was in the Old Testament, when God told Moses to find faithful men that could govern over people in groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So he's now giving these 12 disciples the authority of the 12 tribes of Israel, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I think he also did it to show what an amazing miracle was about to happen, because people could look around and go, oh my golly, this is a very big crowd of people. Now, has anyone here ever seen 5,000 people eat at once? Be fed? Okay, so last summer before, I went to this convocation of U.S. Catholic Bishops in Florida, and there was over 2,000 people, and we all sat down to eat at the same time. And it was in a convention center, and it was as big as a football field. And I do not know how many tables it was, but I can assure you it took more than 12 people to feed that crowd. And I was blown away at the vastness of just looking out over the sea of people, just wondering, how in the heck do you even feed 2,000 people, much less 5,000 people? Ladies, that is a heck of a dinner party. 5,000 people, right? All right, so here is the mystery. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, what did we say the word take was? He eagerly accepts what's given to him. He looks up to heaven, which is the way that Jesus always prayed. It says he looks up to the Father because he knows. Jesus is just an extension of God the Father. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to study God? Study Jesus. Hebrews, it says, he is, the word means spit. He is the spit, the DNA of God himself. This is how Jesus prayed. He looks up. He's one with the Father because he knows he's going to need this supernatural focus from God. And it says, and he blessed them. He probably said the traditional Jewish blessing that goes like this. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. He broke the loaves. It says he broke them in smaller pieces is what it meant. And then he gave it to his disciples. Now, this word meant kept on giving. We do not exactly know how this worked. All we know is that he just kept giving, and they kept taking, and they kept passing it out. And then it says they set it before the people. This word, to set before the people, means it was a great gift of hospitality. They showed forth hospitality. And this is this giant dinner party on this hillside. And then he also divided the 2 fishes among them. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. When we eat what God gives us, we are truly satisfied. If we try to fill the gnawing hunger with the world's ways, we will forever be starving. God gives it to them in super abundance. He has super abundance. You know, when my girls were little, it was so funny, they were all sitting on the bed and they were passing the phone around to talk to my dad. And, you know, Emma spoke, then Lily spoke, then they handed it to May, but whoever handed it to May, the phone was upside down. And she couldn't hear my dad. And she handed me the phone crying. She said, they used up all the bomb. I was like, no, honey, just turn the phone the other way. We can never use up all the bomb. That's what they called my dad. Super abundance. We can never come to the end of God's grace, mercy, love, forgiveness. If you have found yourself in a pit, I got good news. God's grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness goes deeper still. The well never runs dry. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments. And what was left of the fish, the leftovers far exceeded the original amount. You ever come to the end of what you think you can give? We saw the prophet of Elisha, feed 100 men with 20 barley loaves in 2 Kings. Jesus is now the new Elisha. We see him now as the new Moses because he's out in the desert place and he's providing
an unbelievable amount of bread from heaven. We see this 12 echoing back to the 12 tribes. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men, it says. Well, the mystery of all this is, first of all, the only other time this exact language is used about taking, blessing, breaking, giving is at the Last Supper. So we see this foreshadowing of what's going to happen. There's probably this intense sting, I think, in Christ, knowing that his beloved cousin has been killed. And Jesus is on his way. The three synoptic gospels show that all that Jesus does is basically, he has his face set like flint, and he is barreling down for his hour. Everything he does is pointed towards this hour. So what he's doing is foreshadowing what will happen that night. But what is also foreshadowing is that his goodness, his giving will never end. It will continue to give, to give, to give, not just for there, but for all eternity. Henry Nouwen states, when Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, he summarized in this gesture his own life. Jesus is chosen from all eternity, blessed at his baptism in the Jordan River, broken on the cross, and given his bread to the world. Being chosen, blessed, broken, and given is the sacred journey of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. When we take bread, bless it, break it, and give it with the words, "This is the body of Christ," we express our commitment to make our lives conform to the lives of Christ. We too want to live as people chosen, blessed, and broken, and thus become food for the world. So I must have had this in my head from long ago, but I can't say exactly when I had this dream, but I had this crazy dream. I had a lot of people showing up at my house for an extended amount of time. My entire family actually was coming for a family reunion, and I was exhausted before they even got there. And I realized I couldn't do it in my own strength. And I went to bed praying for strength and the ability to be able to do all the Lord would ask of me. And then the strangest thing happened, and I'm not sure if I was awake or asleep, but these beautiful hands came down from heaven and picked me up and comforted me. Then he put one hand over the other, and I was enclosed in this beautiful, safe place. And I heard a blessing over me. And he told me just to rest. And at that moment, I turned into a piece of bread. And he began to break me into little pieces. But it didn't hurt as long as I rested. I actually began to see what was happening from outside of being in his hands. And it was beautiful. And then he began to feed my family from his hands. All I had to do was to be willing to cooperate. As long as I did not squirm or object or complain, there was plenty. And it was painless. It was even delightful to see him put this bread inside my mother's mouth, who had fed me my whole life. It was so sweet to be able to strengthen others. All I could do was smile, feeling so honored that God would choose me to be able to feed his beloved. Then I woke up, I guess. I totally got what he wanted. He wanted me to rest in him and enjoy letting him use me to feed others. This is my body broken for you. He wanted me to be his body to my family, literally. So I rested in him, knowing he could do what I could not, to keep giving if I rested in him. If I did it in my own strength, I was gonna be toast. But as long as I remained in his hands and let him portion me out as he would, then there would be enough. And guess what? There was. I never ran out because it wasn't really me. It was him doing that crazy thing that he does through me. So you may find yourself in a similar situation this summer. You might think you are sneaking off to a deserted place in order to get away, only to run into people who desperately need you. Instead of getting exasperated and saying, "You are dismissed, go and feed yourselves," ask the Lord to make what little you have, whatever that may be, enough. Bring to him your whole self and ask for him to take you just as you are, little and not enough in and of yourself, to bless you, to give you the desire and the strength to abandon yourself to him, to break you. It's a beautiful thing to be broken. What that means is that we don't choose our own way, but we choose God's way and what he wants in the moment. And that might have to happen 50 million times a day. Your will, your plans, your you fill in the blank, vacation, ideas, time, whatever. And then give you out. And you know what I saw in that moment? When we take the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, God doesn't say, if you come up, okay, you're worthy and thankful and you get it, so you get to get me. He gives it to every person who walks up. Ladies, so much of what you give out is gonna have to go to a very ungrateful crowd. People that will never say thank you. People who may even throw it back in your face. Be like Jesus. It's a time you get to be like Jesus. Know this. This is who Christ feeds every day. The ungrateful, the unknowing, the unappreciative. And he does it in super abundance. He never runs out, and we will never run out if we're doing it in his strength. If we're looking up to God the Father like Christ, getting what we need from him in order for this to happen, we get to be one with God. What more could we ask for? I think that that story is really worthy of being in all four Gospels. Because it's the secret of oneness with our Lord. Allowing ourselves to be taken, blessed, broken, and given. We're going to close in prayer, but before I do, I just want to read to you really a few quotes from this book that I think is so beautiful. I'm going to read you one quote from each taken, blessed, broken, and given. The greatest spiritual battle begins and never ends with the reclaiming of our chosenness. Long before any human being saw us, we are seen by God's loving eyes. Long before anyone heard us cry or laugh,
We are heard by our God, who is all ears for us. Long before any person spoke to us in this world, we are spoken to by the voice of eternal love. Deep friendship is calling forth of each other's chosenness and a mutual affirmation of being precious in God's eyes. I think that's what we do here in this small group. Blessed. The blessings that we give to each other are expressions of the blessings that rests on us from all eternity. It is the deepest affirmation of our true self. It is not enough to be chosen. We also need an ongoing blessing that allows us to hear in an ever new way that we belong to a loving God who will never leave us alone, but will remind us always that we are guided by love on every step of our lives. Broken. Our brokenness is truly ours, nobody else's. Our brokenness is as unique as our chosenness and our blessedness. The way we are broken is as much an expression of our individuality as the way we are taken and blessed. Sometimes we only want to offer people our wholeness, but it's our brokenness where we feed on one another, feed on the body of Christ. And given, our greatest fulfillment lies in giving ourselves to others. True joy, happiness, and inner peace come from the giving of ourselves to others. A happy life is a life for others. As the beloved ones, our greatest fulfillment lies in becoming bread for the world. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we offer you ourselves now, and you eagerly take us excitedly. Thank you for that. Thank you that you don't reject us and look for something better, but you take us like we are. Lord, we ask that you would bless us, that you would break us in the way that you see that we need to be broken so that we can more conform our lives to your will. Whatever that may be, our pride, our vanity, our sensuality, our will, our plans, whatever it may be, Lord, take us and break us so that we can be used by you, so that we can feed a hungry world, and even, Lord, you yourself, that our lives may be a pleasing aroma to you. We offer you our whole self. Thank you, Lord. Take us now, we pray, and use us. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.